If you have your Bibles tonight, please turn with me to the book of Titus. The book of Titus tonight. The verse of scripture where these messages were birthed in our heart was in the book of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. I'll read that again, and then we'll go to the book of Titus tonight. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write." Then he said, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." We found it amazing that the Apostle Paul, in every one of his epistles, he signs out with the grace of God. And if you live for the Lord, you'll know the importance of the grace of God in your life. And so what we've been trying to do is examine the last chapter in each one of Paul's epistles and look at the subject, the importance of the grace of God. Now tonight it's going to be a little bit different because I don't know how your Bible is marked, but in chapter 2 it says part 2. In chapter 3 it's part 2 continued. And this is just a kind of a subheading that man has put in there. But God gave me peace in my heart that in order to get the gist of this, what God wants us, we're looking in chapter 2 and in chapter number 3 as Paul signs out with the grace of God. And I appreciate the Lord giving us this. We're actually going to just quickly look at a verse in chapter 1 as well. But in verse number 15, Paul said, this is chapter 3, verse 15, "All that are with me salute thee, greet them that love us in the faith, grace be with you all, amen." And I want to look at the importance of the grace of God tonight in these verses, and God's broken down into just three little simple areas. But I believe that it'll be a blessing. It sure has blessed me as I've studied it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for your people. Thank you for the help, our God, that you've given us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. Thank you, Lord, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Lord, I believe I'm preaching to a group of people tonight, Lord, that are living for you. And that are looking for you, and that are laboring for you. And I pray, dear Father, tonight that you would just show us in the Scripture tonight those things that would encourage us along the way. Lord, may we leave here tonight a little more like Jesus than when we came. And Lord, we know that one day we'll step off on heaven's bright shore and we'll be just like Jesus. Lord, what a blessed day. The songwriter said, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I shall look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Father, until then, give us grace, our Lord, each mile and through each trial to trust you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're looking at the subject tonight, the importance of the grace of God. And I want to say three things tonight. Number one, by the grace of God, we're living for the Lord. By the grace of God, we're living for the Lord. You say, Pastor, where did you get that tonight? Well, I broke this down a little bit tonight. Did you know something tonight? I believe there's a lot of people that's trying to live for the Lord that don't know the Lord. That might strike you as strange tonight, but I'm going to tell you something tonight. You can't live for him if you don't know him. Amen? And I'll tell you, if you do know him, now you get a hold of this, you'll want to live for him. You'll want to serve him. Amen? You say, Pastor, why did you open up like that tonight? Well, look in verse number 16 of chapter number 1. The Bible said, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. I'm going to tell you tonight, listen to me carefully. We've got a bunch of politicians in Washington, D.C. that profess to know God. And yet, beloved, they'll tell you that just lay that baby over there on the counter, discuss it with mama, amen, whether you're going to let that baby live or not. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved, that don't line up with the Bible. There's a bunch of people in this world, and there a lot of them are sitting on church pews that profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. I'll tell you tonight, when God helped me tonight, as I put my mission offering in tonight, I don't do that begrudgingly. I do that because I love the Lord. I do that because I love missionaries. I do that because I love the gospel. I do that because I want some youngin' over there in Africa or down in South America or down in the Middle America, in Mexico. I want some youngin', beloved, in a children's home to be able to hear the same gospel that I heard. Say amen. In other words, beloved, I do profess to know God, but that talks to my billfold too. Say amen. There's a whole lot of people, beloved, that profess to know God, and their billfold ain't never heard nothing about it. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, the Bible said here, some profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. Watch this now. Being abominable and disobedient and to every good work reprobate. We can't do one thing to please God until we first know Him in the free pardon of sin. You must be born again. Nicodemus, beloved, listen, when he come to Jesus, he was all wrapped up in his religion. He had the credentials, amen. But Jesus said, it ain't going to get it done, son. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So by the grace of God, we can live for the Lord. By the grace of God, I am a possessor tonight and not just a professor. In other words, I love that old song, I am His and He is mine. Hallelujah. I don't belong to myself. I belong to the one that bought me and paid for me in full at Calvary's blood. Amen. By the grace of God tonight, He is ours. I want you to see tonight, beloved, listen, in verse number 12 here, the Bible said here, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, watch this, underline these three words, we should live. Everybody that's been born again should live godly and soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Amen. And so it's by the grace of God we can live for the Lord. Let me give you three things under that tonight. Number one, I've already told you, by the grace of God, I am a possessor and not just a professor. But by the grace of God, number two, we can be a pattern. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Look in chapter number 2, and let's start reading in verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. You know, I thought, Brother Jason, as we went through the line tonight, you introduced me to Brother Mark. Of course, he told me when I got up there who he was. That's Brother Adam's daddy. So Brother Mark, he had a daddy laying there in the casket that had been an example, amen, that had been a pattern for him to pattern it, and then his son patterned his life after that, and then his son's son patterned his life after that. You say, Pastor, why is that so important? Because, beloved, listen, you and I are to set the example for that generation that's coming along behind us. And that's what the Bible's talking about here. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 real quickly, and I'll get back over here to Titus. In 1 Timothy, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. Watch this. Howbeit for this cause, Paul said, I obtained mercy. You know why God let you be saved? He wants you to be a pattern. I'm going to show it to you right here, beloved. He wanted you to set the example and lead the way for somebody else in this world. That's one of the reasons I believe God didn't hit us in the head and take us to heaven the day that He saved us. He left us here because there's others, beloved, that need to see that pattern in somebody's life that they might pattern their life. Look at verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering. Why did He do that? For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to everlasting life. Paul said, listen, God's done something in my life. and he's setting the example for you. He wants you to see that you don't have to continue, beloved, the same direction. There's one that can interrupt your life on the Damascus Road and change your direction, amen, and change your purpose in life. Now the one, beloved, that used to be going to lock them up, amen, and beat them up, is going to preach to them the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that is. By the grace of God, I'm a possessor. By the grace of God, we can be a pattern to those around us. Watch this now. The Bible said the aged women likewise. Listen, I know the older group is in here tonight. I didn't say old group. I said the older group is in here tonight. The older men and the older women. I say shame on us if we're not setting a pattern. Amen. For them youngins that's coming behind us. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, I've said this. I can't make my youngins follow me. But if they do, they're going to end up in the city of God one day after a while. Amen. Worshiping around the throne of God. And I pray God will help us to set that pattern. Then the Bible said the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. If I'm understanding that scripture tonight, when the aged men don't act like they should, and the aged women don't act like they should, the word of God's being blasphemed. Amen. I want you to know tonight it's important that you and I set the pattern for those that are coming along behind us. Amen. The Bible said sound speech. Excuse me. Verse 7. Young men, verse 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. I think it's important tonight to understand. You say, Pastor, how can we possess Christ by the grace of God? How can we be a pattern for others? Listen, they ain't got no room here to boast. Amen. It's by the grace of God we can set the example for others, because the Holy Ghost of God takes the Word of God and works in our heart and makes us more, like the songwriter said, more like Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More the one who died for me. So we're living for God by the grace of God. And then notice this tonight. By the grace of God, we can be pure. Look at verse 14. The Word of God said here, well, let me just read verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I don't know what Calvinists do with that. It don't matter to me what they do with it. I'm going to believe it. John said, this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And the Bible said here, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly when we get to heaven. That ain't what he said, is it? He said, in this present world. In this present world, by the grace of God, I'm a possessor. By the grace of God, we can be a pattern. And it's by the grace of God we can be pure tonight. Amen. And walk with God. The Bible said here in verse number 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. I'll get to that a little bit later on. Secondly tonight, first of all, by the grace of God, we're living for the Lord. And then, by the grace of God, beloved, listen, we look for the Lord. You say, Pastor, who is it that's living for the Lord? And who is it that's looking for the Lord? I'll tell you tonight, it's those that know the Lord. Amen? You say, Pastor, where do you get the scripture here that, how do we come to know Him? Look in chapter 3, verse 1, please. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men.
For we ourselves, I love this scripture. Listen, if you can't put yourself there, I want you to know I can. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers, or you could use the word different, lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Amen? That's where your pastor used to be. But something happened. Look in verse number 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. I love verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. Hallelujah, beloved. Listen, when you get to know Him, you can live for Him. And beloved, when you get to living for Him, you'll get to looking for Him, because He's coming again. It's already been said tonight, our Lord is coming. Amen. And we can look for Him tonight. Let me give you some things tonight. Look in verse 13. The Bible said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You think about that graveyard over there, beloved, where every one of us have to visit from some time to time, a loved one or a friend, or a friend of a loved one, or a loved one of a friend passes away. When I walk into a cemetery, I can't help but wonder how many died, listen to me carefully, in the Lord. Because every one of them that died in the Lord, beloved, I don't care what kind of tombstone's there. I don't care how deep. I don't care how thick the box is. Honey, when Jesus comes, they're coming out of there. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart tonight. The Bible said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I love that tonight. Looking for the Lord. Let me give you several things tonight that the Lord spoke to my heart about. If we're going to look for the Lord, number one, it requires patience. Turn with me in James, please, tonight. In James, you all understand this. We're living in an instant society. Someone said we've got more time-saving devices and less time than we've ever had in our life. Amen? And that's about the truth, isn't it? But a lot of times, in the things of God, we're trying to microwave them too, amen? But it takes patience. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse number 7 of chapter 5 of the book of James. The Bible said, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. I was out in the barn today looking for a couple of steel fence posts. You say, why was you looking for them? Because there's a couple of wooden fence posts that's rotted off even with the ground. And there's a doing that number right there. So just until my brother gets time to fix the fence, he's got the farm lease and all that, I just got me some steel fence posts and drove them in the ground alongside of it, took some tie wire, pulled that post up there, and it looks good anyway. It ain't much stronger than it was, but it looks a lot better than it did. I done that to a couple of them. He said, what's that got to do with this verse? I got to thinking about Miss Eve's garden. I said, oh, goodness, I've took two of her stakes. What am I going to do in the spring? Amen. And I done got a plan together. Amen. I got some rods over there, Brother Jason. I'll bring them up here. They're about that big around, but they ain't long enough. We'll weld them together, won't we, brother? Amen. And we'll make some stakes, amen, for the garden. We'll get by. But the Word of God's talking here, the precious fruit of the earth. You can't plant that garden in May and expect to eat out of it in June. You're going to have to wait June, July, some of it August, amen. But I'll tell you, thank God, if you'll plant it and you'll plow it and you'll water it and you'll pray over it, you know what God will do? He'll bless it, amen. And you'll get to eat something out of that garden after a while. Well, I'll tell you tonight, the coming of the Lord is the same way. It's not instant. They said, where is the promise of His coming? Some of them are mocking, amen? But you and I are God's people. We're just patiently waiting, amen, for the trumpet to sound and to hear our Savior say, come up hither. It's enough down yonder. Just come on home, amen. The Bible said here, be patient therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts for the coming of the Lord. Look at those next two words. draweth nigh. You say, Pastor, you've lost your mind. No, let me tell you what the Bible said. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. If you'll look at that verse and think about it just right, he's just been gone a couple of days. And I tell you, beloved, we're going to turn around about twice, and he'll be here to take us home. Amen. What a blessing. Looking for the Lord, it requires patience. Look with me in Hebrews for a moment. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 35. Hebrews chapter number 10 tonight and verse number 35, I believe it is, I want to look at here. The Bible said, this is what happens to a lot of people. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. I was telling somebody the other day I can't remember where I was, who I was talking to. I'd like to be able to remember some things once in a while, but anyway, I was telling them about those two Catholics. Somebody went soul winning, knocked on their door and led them to Jesus. Amen. They got in, got sitting under that pastor, and that pastor got to teaching them about how Jesus was coming. It wasn't too long after that, several months went by, and they were getting soaking up this Bible and soaking up the truth. And here come one of them fellas selling them grave plots down there at the cemetery. Now, I ain't going to tell you where, but I rode through a cemetery last year, and it was buy one, get one. My wife and I couldn't believe we were looking at those signs. Amen. I wish we would have took advantage of that deal, honey. Buy one, get one. Amen. I'd have took a free one. You could have paid for yours. Amen. But anyway, they said this. That fella made his presentation about those cemetery plots. He was selling them and all that. He said, now, y'all got any questions? Said that man, said, yes, sir, I got a question. He said, you got any of them to rent? He said, I ain't going to need it long. He said, Jesus is coming. He's believing every word that pastor was preaching to him. Amen. He listened tonight. He wasn't one of those, beloved, listen, that cast away his confidence, but he believed what God's word said concerning the coming of the Lord. He said, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise for yet a little while. Look at that. You say, Pastor, that's not accurate. That's the book of Hebrews. That was written 2,000 years ago. I tell you, honey, it's just as accurate today as it was the day God wrote it down. Yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Amen. I tell you who the happiest people in the world are. Those that go to bed looking for him. Those that get up looking for him. Those that eat lunch looking for him. Say amen. They go to work looking for him. They go to church looking for him. And they just understand, beloved, listen, he's coming. And when he does, you talk about straightening things out. Amen. Now for 7 years, it's going to go to pot. Say amen. But then, beloved, we're going to ride out with him. And he's going to straighten things out down here. Say amen. What a blessed day that's going to be. It requires patience. And then not only the looking for the Lord does it require patience. I've already mentioned this, but I want to dive in a little bit deeper. It results in purity. Listen to me. A man, woman, boy, or girl that says they're saved and they're living in sin, mark this down. They're not looking for the Lord. You say, Pastor, you got Bible for that? Let me see if I can quote it. And I mean that. I may have to go over there and read it. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now listen to this. Every man, I like that, didn't leave anybody out, Brother Jay. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I believe a person that's looking for Jesus wants to live for him and wants to be pure. Amen. You say, Pastor, ain't nobody perfect. Jesus was perfect, and we know that. But I'll tell you something right now. I believe this. There's too many excuses for loose living in this generation. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. We've got the Holy Ghost living in us. We've got a holy Bible to read. Amen. And God said, beloved, listen, you get sideways over there in 1 John. He said, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no reason for a child of God to go on in sin. Amen. God said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. I haven't told this story in a long time. Daddy had an old Ford truck, 6-cylinder. Believe it or not, when I was a youngin', you could get up in there with the motor and sit on the fender and watch Daddy put plugs, points, and plug wires, condenser, am I missing something, ain't I? And a rotor button and a distributor cap. You could watch Daddy tune it up, amen? I remember being a teenager, having my own car, and Daddy said, now, son, one thing you don't want to do is pull all them plug wires off one time. And I thought, well, Daddy, you know, I done figured this out. It's got the firing order right there on the manifold. He said, son, you better listen to me. He went on in the house. I didn't listen to him. That thing, I wired that thing up. My God, it crosswired. Brother Wayne, you're grinning. Maybe you've done that somewhere along the way. But that thing belched, and it done everything but run. And it took me forever to get that figured out. Amen. Daddy said, take one off, son, put one back. Anyway, what's that got to do with the story? Really nothing, but here comes the part that has to do with the story. The 6-cylinder Ford. Daddy, listen, we was poor. I mean poor. I mean that. Poor. I didn't know it, but we were poor. And Daddy, the exhaust went out on Daddy's truck, Brother Mike. And Daddy was a welder, so he just got him some inch and a quarter pipe. He started up there at the motor. And he bent and welded, and he put him a pipe in there and brought it up through the bed of the truck, up through the corner of the truck. And it had a sound like no other Ford in the country. Amen. It was a straight pipe, inch and a quarter, from that 6-cylinder motor up there. Daddy, once in a while, well, most of the time, I'd have some little assignment after school. When you come in, son, I want you to mow the grass. You know what I mean? That ain't no big deal. I mean, it was a push mower, and a yard wasn't much bigger than half of this church. You could mow it in 30 minutes. But I'll tell you something right now. There were times I could hear Daddy's truck coming. At that time, I could hear his truck coming all the way out there to high school. And there were times I'd be sitting there on the front porch drinking me a glass of iced tea, and I heard that exhaust coming out. And, buddy, it didn't bother me a bit, Brother Jason. You want to know why? Because I done had done what Daddy asked me to do. But there was other times I'd come in from school, and one of my buddies would come by and say, let's go play tennis or let's go play basketball. You had to walk over to the schoolyard to do that. And we get over. I said, man, I need to mow the grass. Oh, come on. You can mow the grass later. You know how that goes. Amen. And I'd get over there and lose track of time, and I'd look at my watch and know that Daddy was on the way. And I'd run home. Been times when I was pulling that mower out of the shed when I heard that muffler. Work wasn't done. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I can still close my eyes and see the look of disappointment on my daddy's face when he come in after working 10, 11 hours. And son, you couldn't do that one little thing that I asked you to do. I want to ask you something tonight. You tell me what our Savior's going to think if He comes and finds us not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Living an old dirty life, amen, in sin, amen. Not cleaned up, not living a pure life before Him. I'll tell you, I believe there'll be not only disappointment on His face, but ours too if that's the case. The Bible said they'll be ashamed. We can stand before Him with confidence at His coming, or we can be ashamed before Him. Y'all believe that? I believe that's the truth. I believe that's what the Scripture teaches. Amen. Looking for the Lord, it results in purity. And then I want to give you this. It's revealed in prayer when we're looking for the Lord. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? Go to Revelation chapter 22 with me just a moment. I know my mind don't work like a lot of people's, but that's all right. I'm just telling you how God worked in my heart. What do you mean revealed in prayer if you're looking for the Lord? How many knows the story of the book of Revelation? Just briefly, you've got John, he's exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and for his testimony. We don't like you, buddy, so we're going to put you out there by yourself. problem, wherever John went, he wasn't by himself. He had a Savior that went with him. Amen? And so John's exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And what's he see out there? Well, he sees the glorified Christ in chapter number 1. Ain't that right? You get into chapter number 2 and chapter number 3. And you know what he sees? He sees the churches. He sees the 7 churches of Asia. Amen? I wish I could name them all, but some of them's Laodicea, there's Sardis, there's Philadelphia. If y'all want to name some of the rest of them, name them. Amen? But he sees the 7 churches. And then he sees the scene around the throne of God. Chapter 4, verse 1, the word says, come up hither. And beloved, after that, the church is never mentioned again until Revelation chapter number 19 at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And after chapter 4 and chapter 5, in chapter number 6, you light in on the great tribulation that's coming. The 7 years, or the time, the Bible said, of Jacob's trouble. That's what's going on in the book of Revelation. And then in chapter 19, you see the marriage of the Lamb. And then in chapter number 20, you see the great white throne judgment where the lost, those without Christ, come before the great white throne and they're judged and cast forever into hell. Amen. Watch this now. And then you see that new city coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. You see, beloved, that we're going to a place where there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying, no more dying. There's no more sea. The city doesn't need a light because Jesus is the light of that city. You see the gates of pearl. You see the walls of jasper. And you see, beloved, what John saw in the book of Revelation. You say, Pastor, I don't know what that's got to do with the coming of the Lord. Look in chapter 22. The Bible said, here's John praying. The Bible said here in verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers. You'd be surprised, listen to me, I'm not trying to be ugly tonight, but you'd be surprised how many whoremongers are sitting on church pews today. And they think they're going to go to heaven. No, God said they're without. They're not in, they're without. You say, Pastor, you shouldn't have said that. Well, let me give you the verse. It's on my heart. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed's undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You say, you got no business saying that. I didn't. God said it. I just repeated it. It's in the Word of God. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it's time to get serious about this thing. Every one of us has got people that profess to know God, but in works, they deny Him. Day in and day out, they deny Him. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. It takes more than a profession to get to heaven. We must know Him in the free pardon of sin. We must be born again. Watch this now. He said in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto thee these things in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David, and the bride and the morning star. And here's what we're supposed to be doing. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. In other words, God's saying, leave my Bible alone. In verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He that testifieth these things saith, this Jesus, were red letters, surely I come quickly. John said, amen. You say, where do you see a prayer? Even so come. Everything that John saw in the book of Revelation, he said the best thing that could happen, just come on, Lord Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. I tell you tonight, it's by the grace of God we're living for the Lord. It's by the grace of God we're looking for the Lord. Watch this tonight. I believe you're living for Him, you're looking for Him. You're not doing either one of those unless you know Him. But then, the third thing tonight, it's by the grace of God that we're laboring for the Lord. Look at verse 8, let me hurry. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. This is chapter 3, verse 8. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. You know, tonight, I don't believe you ought to worship a vehicle. Listen to me carefully. But I believe if God give you one, you ought to change oil in it. I don't believe you ought to worship a vehicle. And by the way, I'll just go ahead and say this. I don't believe you ought to be changing oil when Sunday school's going on. If God give you a vehicle, I believe you ought to change your brake pads on it. And if you let them go too far, just go ahead and change your rotors or you're wasting your time changing the brake pads. Anybody home tonight? I believe God gives you a home and you look up there on the ceiling and there's a brown spot. It ain't because the tooth fairy landed the wrong way. Amen? Hey, some water coming through somewhere. And if God give you a home, I don't believe you ought to worship it. But I believe you ought to maintain it. You know what God's done to us? He's given us life. He wants us to have it abundantly. And I believe God wants us to labor in His kingdom. I believe He wants us to occupy till He comes. I believe He wants us to maintain good works. We do not believe in a work salvation, but we do believe in a salvation that works. Amen. You say, Pastor, how can you make a statement like, let me give it to you. We love these two verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I love those verses. But I love the next verse, verse 10. For we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. God is saying tonight, it's by the grace of God we can know Him, we can live for Him, we can look for Him. But it's by the grace of God together tonight, we can be laborers together with Him. I believe there's two dangers tonight. There's a danger of just not being a laborer at all. By the way, if Jesus, Brother Jason, you was up here taking prayer requests, Jesus was sitting there, His prayer request would say something, it would be something like this. Y'all help me pray. I've been out there today, and the fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few. He'd say something like this, would y'all help me pray that God would send forth laborers into His heart? Is that Bible or is that not? Say amen. I believe that's exactly what He would say, don't you? And God wants us to be laborers, and it's by the grace of God we can labor and be laborers together. So there's that danger, beloved, listen, of just not being a laborer for the Lord. But then there's that danger of laboring. And you're over here and you're working your fingers to the bone, so to speak, in the energy of the flesh. You see, the Bible said laborers together with Him. We can't do... Listen, what did Jesus say you could do without Him? I like what one preacher said. He said, without Jesus, he said, I'm a zero with a rim knocked off. Amen. We ain't even a rim without Jesus. We can do nothing. Laboring for the Lord. Laborers together. Two or three are gathered together. Look at verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. God don't want His youngins to be unfruitful. If you'll go to John chapter 15, the stages of fruit, He said there's some, there was no fruit. And then there was fruit, and then there was more fruit, and then there was much fruit. Read it in John chapter 15. No fruit, fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And by the way, beloved, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Christian that's being talked about there. Amen? God wants us to yield to Him and be a laborer together with him. Let me give you three things real quickly. Number one, if we're going to labor for the Lord, there's some things to affirm. Look at verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Some people are wishy-washy. God said, I want you to get this nailed down. Amen. I'm thinking, and I'm trying to close, trying to hurry right quick. I'm thinking we're working on the church. Brother Ralph, you remember that. And Brother John looked over at me one day, and he said, Pastor, he said, do you believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus? I said, I sure do, Brother John. He said, then what are we doing all this work for? That's what he said. I remember telling Brother James Jones what Brother John said. I had Brother James on the phone not long after that. He said, you tell Brother John that Jesus said to occupy till I come. Amen. Find something to do for the Lord. Amen. Some things to affirm. Number two, there's some things to avoid. Look in verse 9. But avoid foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. You know what some people are? Curtis Hudson said something years ago that I've never gotten away from the statement. I believe it's a good statement. He said this. This is what he said. He said, my greatest fear is not that I will fail. He said, my greatest fear is that I will succeed in something that really doesn't matter. Think about that. There's a whole lot of people, they invest their whole life in something that in the end really ain't going to amount to a hill of beans, as the old boy says. It really ain't going to matter. And that's what the Bible's... There's some things, listen, to affirm, but there's some things to avoid. But then, thirdly, and this is important, I want you to see this tonight. There's some people to acknowledge. If we're going to be a laborer together and our life is going to count, you say, Pastor, I don't know why you wrote that down. Well, let me show you real quickly. Look in verse number 12. He said, when I shall send, would you say that Artemis? That's how I would say it, Artemis. Well, why did God, in his infinite wisdom, have Paul to write down Artemis? Because Artemis was helping him. There's a whole lot of people, listen, I've heard missionaries say, I'll tell you one thing, bless God, with or without the church, I'm going to do what God called me to do. Bad mistake. Bad mistake for a pastor to stand, I'll tell you one thing, bless God, with or without the people, I'm going to do what God knows, sir. We need one another. In this work, we have to have the Lord, but we have to have one another. There's some people to acknowledge. And then he said, Tychicus, that's how I would say it. There's all kinds of ways you could pronounce that. And then in verse number 13, he says, Zenas, the lawyer. I'm going to tell you what, the grace of God, God can use a lawyer. The Bible said, and Apollos on their journey. Now you say, Pastor, I don't know what you're getting at. Listen to me. There's some things to affirm. There's some things to avoid. But there's some people to acknowledge. I'll tell you what. Whatever we do or don't get done around here, this pastor ain't by himself. Amen? And what I'm trying to do tonight is acknowledge that we need each and every one in the work of God. There's a place. There's a place for each one of us in his work. Look at verse number 15 real quickly. All that are with me. Brother Jason, I don't know how many names is in that. But Paul just says, all that are with me salute thee. He says to Titus, we salute you, son. Amen. I'm going to give you a verse of scripture. I shared this the other day. Go back over with me to I think it's the book of Numbers. I think that's where it's at. I'll find it here. I had a note written down, but I forgot where I put the note. I think it's Numbers chapter 11. Is it Numbers chapter 11? It is. Go back over to chapter 11 in the book of Numbers. I'm done. This is the last verse, I promise. Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 17. Brother Steve, when he called me a couple of weeks ago, and he said, Brother Vinoy, the church is looking at me, and I want to help the church, and they've asked me if I would take the church. I said something to Brother Steve. I hadn't read this verse yet. But I said this to Brother Steve. I said, Brother Steve, when a man leaves in God's will, doing what God wants him to do, I said, the Lord will take care of things. There was a time in my life to lose a man like Brother Steve, I'd have been all to pieces. Say amen. I leaned on him heavily. I guess y'all know that. Amen. I mean, a man come here after Brother John Dockery called him Obama. He got some grit about him. Say amen. Brother Steve was a great help to me in many ways. I mean, you could see, but many ways that you couldn't see, a great help to me. But I told him, I said, Brother Steve, God will take care. And I had a peace. Then I was reading the scripture. Look at verse 17 of chapter 11, the book of Numbers. I'm talking about now the laboring with God. By the grace of God, we can live for Him. By the grace of God, we can look for Him. By the grace of God, we can labor for Him. The Bible said in verse 17, and I will come down. This is what Moses said. God said to Moses, I'll come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I'll put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. That might not mean much to you, but it meant a lot to your pastor when God spoke to my heart and said, it'll be okay. Amen. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. How many's glad you come tonight?